Welcome, everybody, to episode 104 of Game Store Profits, the podcast where a couple guys sit around and talk about the board games that we love and the God that we serve and how these two things come together. My name is Mike Perna.
And I'm Jeff Romo.
And now, Jeff, before we get too far into this, you have come back from the woods.
I was in the woods. I wasn't necessarily a lumberjack. I was going to start singing that song. That just wouldn't be right. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Got to meet up with some old friends.
So now what was the kind of overarching theme of this other than just going out into the woods? Like, you said that you were bringing games with you, but I know that that wasn't the core. Like, I'd love to say that you've gotten so neck deep into board gaming that you just decided to rally your friends and go out into a cabin to play board games all weekend, but I know that's not what it was.
It was just a wonderful confluence of events. That's what it was. But now, these guys, I've been friends with them for, I'm going to count here, I have to count on my fingers and toes, and then a little bit more, so like about 27 years. We get together probably once every year or so, all of us together. Same guys that I get together with playing Shadowrun online, so it was just nice to be in the physical vicinity. Now, when I say cabin in the woods, I should re-emphasize that as being a split-level home, you know, with a driveway and everything like that, but it's surrounded by forest up on a mountain. So not necessarily so isolated that there's no running water and that kind of thing, and that, you know, all sorts of weird animals are knocking at the door. But in all, it was just a lot of fun. The main impetus is just getting everybody and their families together because, you know, 27 years introduces wives and introduces kids and introduces pets, and we just bring them all together and have a lot of fun.
That's not a bad way to spend a weekend.
Not at all.
Were there any games that you brought with you?
Absolutely. I ended up bringing Tokaido, however you want to pronounce it. And then a buddy of mine brought Libertalia. So that was, it was a nice little surprise because I told him, yeah, I'll bring a game and blah, blah, blah.
tell me about your experience with Tokaido.
Well, I ended up playing Hiro Shige, which is, he was basically a peasant type guy. You start with just a little bit of coin, and you guys can go back and discuss the game a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever talked about Tokaido. I think we've referenced it,
but yeah, we hit it just a little bit when we brought it up before. But it's
in the off chance that somebody listening right now has never seen this game ever. Give us an overview.
Okay. Well, it's you got like 2 to 5 players. We actually ended up doing 4 players, but with couples involved, so that way pretty much everybody around the board could play. You get to select from a certain number of meeples, and you start off with a certain level of assets. But it's a family game. It's a travel game. You start off in one city in Japan, and you travel to the next one. And your goal is to become more and more enlightened, and thereby gathering more points as you go. So that includes, and is not limited to, traveling through museums, dining on the best foods, visiting shrines along the way to worship the ancestors. And in that process, you're also creating paintings, basically depictions of certain things, whether it's a fish or a landscape, that sort of thing. And overall, once everything's all said and done, you end up getting a collection of points at the end. And obviously, whoever has the most points wins. But it's got a bit of strategy because right from the beginning, you start off in different stances or different positions. So like you either have a lot of money or you don't, or you have some influence with the temple, or you have influence with bankers, or you have certain powers, like when you can gather up friends and those friends can help you or not help you. So it's an interesting little thematic journey through Japan, which is a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It's competitive, but it's really friendly competitive because there's not a lot of people, you know, trying to shoot each other and stuff like that. It's just, I'm going to have a better vacation than you and I'm going to be more enlightened.
So this is a game that has a lot of assorted, mm-hmm. let's use that word, assorted yeah. strategy involved. So what was, when you decided that you were going to try, you know, go a certain way, what was it? What, yeah. What thing grabbed you?
It's the ability to pick up certain friends and being able to choose which friends you get. So like when you're going through certain sections of the map, you stop there and you can select from a deck of cards that are basically friends. That's kind of the way I'll put it. And each of those friends can either bring you points, bring you coins, or they can actually cause, I don't want to say dismay, but they can also, like say, hey, I need to take some money from you so that I can go and donate it to the shrine or something to that effect. Or I need to take some money from you and put it in the bank and then donate another dollar to the bank over here. But my strategy was basically to work the shrines. And then for this particular character's power, he could pick multiple friends and then choose which ones to keep. So you could actually take a look at all the cards instead of it being a random selection from the deck and say, okay, these three cards, here's what you selected. Which one do you want to keep? Which one do you want to give back? So that kind of helped my strategy along the way. It didn't work really well because I didn't win, but it was still a lot of
But
fun.
it was a strategy.
Yes, it was a strategy. Austerity and working the shrines and working the friendships was kind of my strategy, and it got me in third place out of four, which I guess is okay. I don't know.
You weren't last.
No, I wasn't last, and I had a blast doing it, so that was pretty cool.
Now, what about Libertalia? We've mentioned Libertalia before. It's a game of piracy and, role selection.
Yarr. Yeah, it's an awesome bluffing game, I gotta tell you. I mean it comes down to timing and like how you play the cards, but I mean it's rewind. It's just in case nobody hasn't heard. It's a card-based game. You're basically a group of pirates that goes out raiding, and then you come back and you count up your booty. So that's pretty much the very bare bones of it. But interweaved in that is you have a selection of cards, and that's your crew. And any given phase in the game, you play a particular card or a particular crew member that has powers, it has abilities to have a better initiative, it has whether you're going to get more coins or you have to pay back more coins during certain phases of the game. But the cool thing is like the random crew selection, because you go through the beginning phase, your opening phase, you select your crewmate, nobody shows it yet. And then all at once you put down the card and it's like, oh, all of a sudden, okay, I'm not playing against somebody's card selection. I'm playing against somebody's strategy and motive of play. So you have to like really pay attention to how other people play the game. And it took me like three phases to kind of get into a flow and figure out, okay, this person's a little more aggressive. I know my buddy's wife over there is really conservative. I know this person's doing is a little more cutthroat. So that was a lot of fun because it was kind of cool to like learn more about your friends than you thought you knew, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, and the thing I like about that game too is that because I've played Citadels, which for a while there was possibly the favorite game that I owned for a while. It also has the aspect of hidden job selection, like you're trying to figure out, okay, if I get such and such, then I have to make sure that so and so doesn't pick the assassin and take me out. Like there's lots of planning and scheming like this and this. You all start out with the same cards, but by the time the next round has come by, somebody has cards that they didn't play last round. So there are cards that are hanging around from round to round.
Yeah, and then there's the guys that's in your den at the end, your den of thieves, as it were. Yeah, that either give you points or they can actually really screw you over, actually, if you have the wrong people hanging out there.
Those are great too because you have actions that happen. There are phases. There's actions that happen immediately. Which are the daytime. There's actions that happen, later on, and then there's actions that happen at the very end once the round is completely over.
During the anchor section, yar.
And the anchor ones usually have a big price tag on them. They're like, I think one was like, give away half the money you have right now, but if this guy is still here at the end of it, you'll get double the gold that you just gave. Like, but the problem is that all it takes is one other player to have that card that says, like the gunner can just say, I'm going to pay 3 gold to kill somebody that's in your den, and if they take that guy out, you're in a world of hurt. So you're
That's that you mentioned exactly how I lost the game, or at least the one of the campaigns. That's exactly how I lost. Somebody gunned down my merchant who was going to give me like 10 gold or 10 doubloons at the end, and that would have put me at the top, and then he knocked him out and it made me second. I'm like, ah, oh, you jerk.
But it makes you at least kind of be vaguely aware of what's around you at yes. all times.
And not just that, like even the treasure, like, you know, when you divide up the booty, you get like four selections, basically. And one of those is a sword. And boy, this people can use that sword to really harmful effects.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So those are some quality games you got going there.
Yeah, we didn't even get to play Gloom, but I mean, it was just, like I said, it was just being with my buddies and their wives. And it's one of those unique confluence of events where we have this ancient friendship, and that has also evolved into an ancient friendship for our wives as well. So like almost everybody just gets, not I shouldn't say almost, everybody just gets along. So it's really super awesome. It makes for a real mellow feel for the whole weekend, which is exactly what we all needed, basically.
So I can say, like I promised last podcast that mm-hmm. you will no longer hear, I've been working on 501c3 paperwork, so I haven't played anything.
I can play it back if you want. Do you want me to play it back?
No, I made that promise, okay. And I okay. will say that I have delivered on that promise, because in spite of the fact that I have been busy like crazy doing ministry work, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the episode, I was able, my wife is awesome. I know that every husband will say that. I'm going to tell you that my wife goes above and beyond the call sometimes, and this was one of them. I had a miserable, miserable day just about a week ago. Just absolutely just knocked down, drag out, miserable. Like, I came home and was practically just at the point, I was just so frustrated that I was practically at the point of tears. I don't know if you've ever had that. Can't even point to one thing that like is setting you off, but just everything is just so right there on the razor's edge that you mm-hmm. just feel like you're going to explode.
It literally takes the straw on the camel's back and it does it.
Right. Well, I had one of those. Mm. And my wife, being the absolutely amazing, loving woman that she is, I came home and she said, by the way, I picked up dinner. It's Chinese food. And which that's always something that I absolutely love, going out for Chinese. It's amazing. So we had dinner, and then she goes, we haven't played a game in a long time. What do you want to play? And I'm like, what? She goes, we haven't played in a while. What do you want to play? So I came out with like two or three of her favorite games, and we ended up playing Small World. Now, Small World, in case you don't know, Small World, I don't even know how to really explain Small World, because I can try to compare it to a bunch of things, but that's not really accurate. I can say it's like Risk, in the fact that you're trying to control this entire like continent, and you have, you know, collections of armies to do that, but it's not really at all like Risk. There's a bunch of different like little aspects of the game that translate into other things, but nothing really fills it. Basically what happens is that you take control of a fantastic army. Just some of them, trolls, elves, giants. But the cool thing about this is that the armies are never 100% the same, because there are different aspects that get kind of added on to these armies. Like commando, like flying merchant,
flying commando troll.
And so basically you have a number of units defined by whatever they are gives it a certain ability, and whatever kind of quality they have gives it another sort of ability. So the games are rarely the same twice in a row, and the number of possible combinations is ridiculous.
Yep.
You have a certain number of soldiers every turn, and it takes so many to take over a place that doesn't have anything on it, so many that takes care of a place with something like a mountain or another troop. It takes, you know, you have a certain allotment of people, and you try to get as much territory as you can each time. What happens is that no matter how many people you're playing with, the game plays from two to, I think it's either five or six, I can't remember, but it's
yeah, it goes up to five, I think. Yeah.
And what you realize is that you quickly run out of your first army. And so then there's this mechanic called going into decline, which means your people are still there. Like, there's a remnant of what used to be there, but this once great and powerful nation has kind of, it kind of just dwindles. It's kind of hanging out, but it's kind of gone. And so you can't move them. There's not, you only have one troop left in each spot to get you points. So it does all sorts of stuff about making sure that you put your people in the right places to be in the right locations. You have to make sure that you defend them, because all it takes is your opponent to come in and just take out your entire army. You also have to deal with when to go into decline, because there's a set number of turns, and if you go into decline too early, you're going to be in trouble. If you go into decline too late, you're going to be in trouble. So there's all sorts of stuff going on, and I think the main reason that my wife likes this game is because she almost always beats me.
But you know what? As opposed to Risk, this isn't like one of those marriage disillusion games, you know?
No.
It actually has like the fun aspect of it is keeps it from that.
And the other thing that sets this apart is that there's little to no luck in it.
Right.
There is one die, and if you push your guys to the point where you've used up everybody, there is something called the reinforcement die that if you roll it, you have the ability to say, random reinforcements came and you took this, even though you didn't really have enough guys to do it. But other than that, it's all strategy. It's all timing. It's all making sure that you've controlled enough space to get enough points to put you ahead. Like, there's little to no luck. And I think that's also why she likes it, because in something like Risk, you can have the superior numbers, but if you don't roll well, you're still going to get beat.
Yeah.
But this relies on your ability to put a strategy together. I basically can tell you that this time, I don't know what it was. No, actually, I do know what it was. Almost every time she beats me, it's because she finds the Amazons. The Amazons have this ability where, out of nowhere, you get four extra Amazons for the purposes of destroying things. She milks that for all it's worth, and usually ends up taking her Amazons and marching all over my armies and just leaving me with nothing. The Amazons did not show up in this game. They were not available. And so I think that's the only reason I survived. I did end up winning. My commando sorcerers won the day.
Commando sorcerers. That's awesome.
But yeah, no, it you know, it really is a fun game. It's a game that's been around for a while. Heck, they just recently, for a very limited run, did a deluxe mega Uber edition of this. And when I tell you how much it was worth, you'll wonder why one would do that. But then I'll tell you that it sold out almost instantly. It's a $450 version of this game.
But it had like the inserts.
It comes in this amazing wooden box, and it replaces cardboard with wood, and there are little figures, and oh my goodness, it was so gorgeous. But
just a little bit.
But I will tell you that I have no problem with the components of even the regular game. But yeah, it's been around a while, and I would definitely recommend picking it up. And not everybody likes it. I will say that there are some people who think it's a little too formulaic because there's no luck to it. It's strategy.
Right.
There are people who think that it's broken, that certain things will always win. There are some people who just find it boring because there isn't a lot of luck to it.
But it's accessible, though.
It's super accessible. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, this is one of those ones where you can actually bring out the youngins, and you can see the youngins formulate strategies and just be amazed.
Yeah, no, it's super accessible.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend it if you haven't played it before.
And it's not too expensive. I think I was flashing through Amazon a little while back when I was looking for my certain sets of games I wanted to get, and it was like in the mid-30s or something. So it's definitely accessible, at least financially speaking.
Well, talking about finances, we've done a little bit of I don't know. I think we've done it enough that I could say that we're making it part of the podcast now. It's kind of evolving its way in. Is there anything that's kind of on the horizon that's caught your attention? Something either brand new or something that is coming, or even something that's on Kickstarter?
Somebody, actually over the weekend, one of the guys there was mentioning, we were talking about Clue. this isn't the game I want to talk about, but they're coming out with like a revamped version. It's like got all the original artwork. It's got like a book of like concept art and stuff. I mean, they just went all out with this thing. So I'm wondering it's going to be like in the hundreds or whatever for this particular edition. But in the midst of talking about that, he brought up a Grey Fox game called Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. And it's available for up to 12 players, which makes it an awesome party game. But it's kind of like it's in that vein of like Werewolf and a couple of those kind of like, who's the murderer among us type games. And how would I want to describe this a little bit more? We'll just go down the list here. It's a reskin or it's a rehash of an older game called CS Files by Jolly Thinkers. The guys over at Grey Fox brought that in. I'm kind of hoping that when they put the cards and everything together, that they're going to be a little bit bigger than the CS Files version, because they're like little tiny like casino size cards, like the little gag cards that they hand out at the casinos. But in this case, though, all you're doing is you basically deal a role to each player. They're either going to be like a forensic scientist, they'll be a murder investigator, they'll be a cop, an accomplice, a witness, forensic chemist. I mean, all sorts of people that have different available options for play. But one among them is going to be the murder. So it's just a matter of like resistance. That's the name of the game I was thinking. It's kind of like Resistance a little bit, but it doesn't have as much. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it has as much I'm gonna wring your neck type feel to it. It just has a little bit more of that kind of party fun type of game feel. And just to see who's the best actor at the table too. That's always nice to find. But yeah, it's got great artwork. I've seen some of the previews. I think the Kickstarter has actually made its goal already. So it looks like it's in the bag. But it still has a little ways to go as far as still being able to receive contributions for all its stretch goals. Yeah, this one's kind of on my horizon just because it's one of those cool things that I think would be great to bring into my church, because not obviously with the source of topic being murder, but just the idea of getting a bunch of people around the table. I think this would be great for like a men's retreat, getting them out there.
Youth groups have been playing Mafia since forever, so I think you're okay.
Yeah, so yeah, we have a men's retreat that's coming up here in a couple months, so I'm gonna definitely suggest this as a game to bring along. So.
Well, I will say that for me, I can. There's a couple that I could bring up. Like, I could bring up Eric Lang just did Blood Rage, which the Kickstarter for that happened a while ago, and I remember looking at it and go, these minis are awesome. I mean, it's put out by Cool Mini or not, so of course the minis are awesome. But I'm like, I don't know. I don't know anything about this game. I don't know how it plays. Well, the Kickstarter was successful, incredibly so.
Needless to say.
And because it was successful, it's going to be a thing. It's going to be available. And because it's going to be available, it started showing up at conventions. Recently, actually, Cool Mini or Not Expo, where the Cool Mini or Not people just display their wares, a lot of videos were being made out of that, and everybody and their uncle was talking about Blood Rage. And I don't know much about how the game plays other than what's in those videos, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But I'm going to tell you that, holy cow, if that game is available to demo, or apparently it's supposed to be released in September, so it might be available at Gen Con, maybe? If it is, it's coming home with me.
Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous.
It's a game about Vikings and monsters and area control and
Crazy wild boar shamans.
It looks so great. I could easily see that becoming a thing. But like I said, I don't know much about it other than what's on the review videos that are out there. You can go ahead and check them out. A quick search of the interwebs will bring that up for you. The thing that I can talk more about, because not only have I done a little bit more research on it, but I also am a backer of this game. That will be the Epic Card Game by White Wizard, the people who did Star Realms.
Oh, yeah.
Epic, the big thing that sold me on this, besides the fact that it's super cheap. Because just like Star Realms, it's not going to be an expensive game. It's probably going to fit in a tuck box just like Star Realms does. And the Epic Card Game, basically, it's almost like Magic the Gathering if you put the entirety of Magic in one box. One tiny, tiny, super condensed box.
So no expansions and all that stuff and deck building and everything.
Well, here's the thing. Part of the reason that I wanted to get this is not only because there's lots of the usual stuff apply. The artwork is amazing. As a backer, I got access to a print and play version. And I'm going to tell you that the cards all look super gorgeous. I almost don't want to do a print and play version because I feel like my printer will not do justice to this artwork.
Or you'll be spending a lot of time buying printer ink.
Yeah, exactly. I will also say that the gameplay is very simple. It's basically you have your guys, you'll be playing cards, then you'll declare an attack, that the person will declare defenders, and it's just like, you play events, everything goes, all right, next round. It seems
so it goes fast.
It seems super fast-paced. But the one thing that I really liked about it, and the thing that really sold it to me, was the fact that you can get lots of different types of play out of one box of this game. You can do just straight up, hey, 30 cards for you, 30 cards for me, let's go. You can do drafting, where you get lots of little piles of cards, and you do kind of like a Seven Wonders or Seasons style of draft, where you pick up a card, give the pack of cards to your buddy, he gives you a pack, select another card, and so on and so forth till you get your 30. There's pre-constructed options where if both people playing have their own box of the game, they can pre-construct a deck of 30 cards. And this is all out of one box of what essentially is $20 worth of game.
Right.
That versatility is crazy for that kind of a price tag. So yeah. The fact that it's already, like, I love Star Realms. I still play Star Realms like crazy. It just won a bunch of Dice Tower Awards.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you that I can say this now. I'm partly responsible for that. Because out of
that's what I was getting at.
Out of the 90-something people that voted, I was one of them. And every time Star Realms was up for, like, best small publisher or two-player, I put it for everything. Because I play the heck out of Star Realms. So,
yeah.
I'm super looking forward to this. I've heard good things from people I know who have played it at cons and stuff, but I figured for $20, I'm willing to take a ride. I missed out on the Star Realms Kickstarter.
Right, because but I not this time.
Because, well, when Star Realms happened, you know, White Wizard was kind of, all right, you guys are doing a thing. That looks pretty cool. Now,
look at you go.
Yeah, now having played that game umpteen times, I know the kind of quality they're used to, and I'm super looking forward to this. And really, their turnaround, the Kickstarter literally ended a little bit earlier than we're recording now, like literally a couple of hours ago, and they're already saying that it should be due for fulfillment in like September.
Nice.
So.
And that's the great thing with a card game too, is that you can, as long as you have that fulfillment center ready to go, and you know you're going to hit your goal, fulfilling is going to be a lot easier than having to do all the steam pressing for the minis and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. So this, I mean, it's there's a lot of things going for this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It looks really good. I mean, I'm perusing some of the art features here, and it's like, oh, and it's just good stuff all around.
Yeah, so
very cool.
I'm excited.
I want to hear reports about that after you get back from JonCon, having already played a few hands at night.
The list of things that I want to play at Gen Con is incredibly long.
Did you see what hard. I did there? I'm kind of like prophesizing, you know.
It'll be hard because there's so much that I want to do, but I also need to be at the booth. I need to help with the church service. I need to get interviews and stuff. There's a lot that needs to
I know, but I that's why I said at night, you know, when you're like hanging out at the house with the geek preacher and all those guys. I mean, you just bought it. It's going to be in your hands wanting to be opened.
Yeah, but I won't have bought it because if it's there available and I buy it again, I'll have two copies of it and I don't need that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Though they do recommend having two or three copies, but I, you know, we'll see. Maybe later down the road.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's weird also to realize that Gen Con is around the corner, but before Gen Con happens, I've got another thing going on.
It's July 1st now. July means something to me. Why is that, Mr. Perna?
Well, July 11th, if you take July 1st and add another one to that.
Just another one.
We're going to have Tavern Con.
That's right.
Tavern Con, it's, as we were talking beforehand, it really just started with, hey, the cost of being at Gen Con suddenly rose for me because we had to change where we were staying. So I went from having my accommodations be taken care of as part of my volunteering with the booth to, hey, you're going to need to help contribute to the fund. So I'm like, all right, let's do a fundraiser. But in the course of that, our 501c3 hit. We got our approvals.
Ding, ding, ding.
And I started running this. I started advertising TavernCon, and a ton of people have wanted to got involved with it. So at the time when this goes live, it will literally be less than a week away.
That's good stuff. It's such good stuff, especially seeing all the folks that are jumping in. I mean, heck, you've got folks driving an hour, hour and a half, a couple cases of two and a half hours to get to come in for this.
I've got one, maybe two people driving 3 hours to come play with us.
Yeah.
Which boggles my mind. We've also got Jason Tagmeyer coming, which is amazing.
Yeah.
The way that worked out, in case you haven't seen any of the advertisements and stuff or heard me talk about it yet. I picked up a game, speaking of Kickstarter, I picked up a game called Pretense, and I got it, one, because it was super cheap, and two, because it seems perfect for our, like, charity board gaming events. Pretense is what's called a social metagame, and really what it is it's a game that happens while you're playing other games. There are role cards in this game, and depending on what your role is, you're trying to get other people to do something or to say something to try and take the role card. Some of my favorites are the glutton. If you get somebody to hand you food, you take their role card. I forget what the actual names of it are. I could dig it out, but I'm not going to worry about that right now. But there's like, if you get somebody to hand you the rule book, they have to give you their role card. If somebody gives you a high five, they have to give you their role card. And we're going to be playing Last Man Standing, where, you know, you're paying some money. Because this is a fundraiser, you do pay some money to get into the game. And at the end of the day, if all the rules are gone and there's only one left standing, or the event ends, whichever comes first, then we're going to give away some prizes. Well, I tweeted that. And Jason Tagmeyer apparently saw that I had mentioned him.
Interesting.
And it just so happens that he is one of those people that lives about an hour and a half from where this event is taking place.
That's well within driving range, Mr. Perna.
And so before I knew it, we were talking about the fact that he's coming, that he will be bringing some of his Button Shy games, which all look like a lot of fun. I especially want to try. I'm hoping he brings it. If he brings Cunning Folk, I want to try it. Because we're, you know, I'm trying to cram a lot of information in a short amount of time, I'm just going to go look up Button Shy Games and look up Cunning Folk. It looks fun. He also said that he's going to be bringing some games that need playtesting. So these will be unpublished games designed by Jason Tagmeyer.
And where better to test that than in a whole room full of gamers?
Exactly. So he's going to bring unpublished games that you can play before they're done, and maybe even help contribute to future awesomeness.
I like that.
Not only that, I put out on Twitter also that, you know, hey, we need donations because we want to raffle stuff off, but we need to keep costs low, because what's the point of a fundraiser if you spend all the money prepping for your fundraiser? And people have been super generous. Like, super generous. We've got, I literally sitting right next to me here on my desk is a copy of Temple of Elemental Evil, the board game. I've got a copy of, not only do I have a copy of Doomtown, I have a copy of Faith and Fear expansion for Doomtown. I have an extra copy of Pretense that I'm going to be giving away. And another Jason Tagmeyer game called Maximum Throwdown. But that's only the stuff that's arrived. Team Morris and Philip Ballantyne have given us not one, but two copies of not just their role-playing game, The Ministry Initiative, but also their collection of short stories.
Because how can you play the game without knowing some of the background, right?
Exactly.
And come on.
Both of those books and both of those prizes will contain signatures of those people, those lovely, awesome. Lovely people who are on our podcast and have written articles on our site. I also have a ton of games. If you go to our site and see the update, you'll actually see the full list. I'm not going to go through all of them.
There's too many to go through.
There is just a ton of these of absolutely amazing games. I've told people it's really, really sad. It's really painful that I'm going with the idea that Inroads Ministry staff is not eligible to win these prizes. Because if I was, I would want to. Because there's a lot of awesome that's going to be here. And it's all been donated, which makes... It's going to be awesome because we're going to get a lot of... hopefully, we're going to get a lot of money in to get these prizes out. That money is going to go to help fund the ministry. And we're going to get to do more events like this. We're going to do more stuff. And even start producing stuff. Like, that's my big thing, is I want to start producing stuff like role-playing game stuff. Like, modules and things. I want to start producing, you know, training materials, which that's kind of, I think as the future goes, and we've kind of mentioned this before, I think that's going to be a lot of the bread and butter. I kind of want to get to a point where we're doing more training other people to do this instead of just having us do this.
Exactly.
That stuff requires a lot of money to put together. Videos require a lot of production stuff, and hopefully events like this and other donations that might come in will help do that. So I'm super excited about that. I can also say before we transition into, you know, the spiritual aspect of this, I do want to say that we also have it set up right now that you can actually donate online. Our website and click on store and donations, it used to be that our store was, you know, your typical Amazon thing. Like, if you buy stuff on Amazon by clicking this link, we'll get, like, a penny. The short version is that got us nothing. And I don't blame you for not doing that, because really, you know, what is that? Here's the thing, though. Now we have, through the good people at Square, we have a storefront. And that eventually we're going to do stuff like have, you know, swag with Inroads logos on it. That's in the future. I will tell you, this is me now not speaking as the podcaster, but as the president of Inroads Ministries. If you happen to be a graphic designer and would like to design things like t-shirts and hats and stickers and whatever, please contact me at mike@inroadsministries.com. Thank you very much.
That's right. Put it out there, brother. Put it out there.
So hopefully we're gonna start getting some swag out there, but we're... Part of doing this fundraiser is to get stuff like that rolling, because so many of you have asked us for t-shirts. We have listened. We just don't have the resources yet. Hopefully we'll be able to start doing stuff like that, because, oh my goodness, the emails that start out with, why don't you guys have t-shirts? Oh my goodness, I could be buried under those emails. But anyway... So you can go onto that store and donate online. We have several different options that you can do. We would love it if you guys, you know, we love the fact that you guys pray for us. We love the fact that you guys send us these amazing emails. I love the fact that so much of these donated games and stuff are going to help TavernCon be amazing. But, you know, we do really hope. And there are certain things that we've said in meetings, we've said in the podcast, and I'm going to put it out to you guys right now. There are certain things that I'd love to see happen. Like, I'd love to see us being able to travel more. Currently, we are relegated to the immediate area of where our board members are. I'd love to see us traveling more to get to places, because a lot of you have said, oh, I want to come, you know, why don't you come to my church? And I go, well, it's because it's a huge plane ticket or a very long car ride. I don't have the ability to do that. Another thing is that in an ideal world, in my 5 to 10 year plan for Inroads, is because I love the fact that we have a 5 to 10 year plan.
We can do that now.
My goal is that we have a full time staff member, and that staff member is me. I'd love to be able to. There, it pains me sometimes to go to my day job, and do that when all I want to be doing is putting stuff together for Inroads and making Inroads awesome. So mm-hmm. that's something that, you guys can help support. There's so much that we want to do that requires people and time and money, and you guys can help us with that. And that right there is where I want to make the transition.
I think it's a pretty smooth one, if you ask me.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that I straight up identified it as the transition, it would have been, like, super smooth.
It would have been undetectable.
Yeah. I don't do undetectable. I'm not subtle.
I rolled a 2 on my stealth check.
You're the DM for our play-by-post game where I play a bard who's better at putting his axe into things than he is at doing magic. I don't do subtle.
No, not at all. And if I had known, I wouldn't have changed a thing.
But the big thing, and this is something that's not new. We were talking beforehand, and I won't go into who said what and what's, you know, I'm not here to name names. But I know for a fact that, you know, because we are, like, officially a nonprofit, and because of the fact that we're trying to raise money, we have that tenuous problem of, if I never talk about raising money, then no one will think that we need it. But if I always talk about raising money, people get tired.
Right.
And this is the kind of thing that churches deal with on an almost monthly basis. Absolutely. At the bare minimum, yearly.
And it doesn't matter, like, how long you've been in the seat or how, you know, how long you've gone to the church. I mean, when the conversation comes up, there's still a small part of you as an attendee just sitting in the seat that kind of cringes just a little bit, even if you don't want it to.
That even if not physically, then metaphysically, you're rolling your eyes at, oh, goodness, we're going to talk about money again.
Yep.
And we get that. And I'm promising you right now that if you're listening to this, there's going to be times when I'll be pushing for donations and pushing for you guys to help us out that way. But I don't want that to ever be the thing. It will be something that's in the back of my mind. It's something that I'm going to work at, but it's not going to be in the forefront like it is right now. Just TavernCon kind of puts that in the forefront.
There's like a big banner.
There literally is a banner. It's sitting right next to me.
That's right.
But we're not alone in the fact that we need this. The emails that I've gotten, either as conversations with people who are doing nonprofit, both either ministry or just nonprofit work, they're all trying to raise money. I've got missionary friends that are low on their funding. I've got people who are just doing a lot of amazing, wonderful work who said, hey, I need this much, but this is what I'm making. I really need you. Like, we're not alone in this. And it's in times like this that I'm not going to lie, I struggle with the idea of God's provision. Like, is that... Yeah. I know I'm not alone in this, right, Jeff?
No, not at all. I mean, I've gone on 3 missions trips to the southern Philippines, not the most hospitable of places for Christians. And it's really great to be able to pronounce what you're doing, and you're talking to the church body and you're getting people really excited. But to get to that next level, like, I'm not even seeking donations at the first point of contact. I'm seeking people to go, you know, strap on your tool belt. Let's go. We got some work to do. And then, you know, once you kind of get past that initial phase, then it comes down to, okay, I get it. You're at that divergence point and you realize you're not going to be able to go, whether it's work or it's just sounds really super difficult. Now I got to talk about money. I got to talk about, you know, it costs money to fly over there. Jet fuel isn't free, you know, luggage costs sometimes are more than $5.
As a guy who just had to buy his plane ticket to Gen Con this year, I can tell you for a fact that that's the case.
Yeah, it tends to add up, and it's all those, it's the big cost, it's all of the little intangibles that start adding up when you come down to food or fuel or whatever. So yeah, it's hard to do the proverbial hat in hand. You know, when you're talking with your congregation or you're talking with your friends and family, and you sit down and you write the letter, you know, the big letter that pronounces what you're doing and your request for money and here's how you can help. It's tough because that's in the back of your mind, the person sitting in the seat in the church who's cringing a little bit, or maybe, like you said, metaphorically rolling their eyes. You're the one now writing that letter.
Yeah, you're the one causing their eyes to roll.
Yeah. So
But it even goes beyond that, though, because there's a reason that all of us are looking for money, and the reason why all of us, not just InRoads, but like every nonprofit in existence, is dealing with this. It's because of the fact that, granted, we have people listening from all over. I love the fact that I can say that people listening to us right now, we span four different continents. I've gotten emails from four different continents, and that's crazy to me.
That's awesome.
But just, speaking as a guy who's living here in America, we are like, everyone's like, oh man, we've got it so amazing. And we do. I do not even want to begin to deny the privilege that it is being a dude growing up in America and having all of these amazing things just at my fingertips. The fact that we're able to record this and I have this nice microphone and I'm in an apartment and everything,
We're
things are good.
freely talking about God on the airwaves.
Yeah, there are lots of amazing things that we get to experience on a daily basis that I do not want to downplay. But at the same point, like, I can tell you this right now. My wife and I put an offer on a house yesterday.
That's big.
It's big. And the only reason we were able to do that was because of a gift from a family member. Like, that's the only reason we were able to do that. And that gift has allowed us to make this jump, but it also means that everything has gotten tighter. We had to reevaluate the budget hardcore. And before, the budget was, oh, we're going to try to do this. Now the budget is, we do this or we don't get to be in the house anymore, or we don't get to eat. Like, that's how tight the budget is. So I get it. And it's in this situation that it's super hard. All of us are there. If you're not there right now, you probably have been. And if you haven't been, I hope to God you don't have to, but at some point there's a good chance that you might have something happen to bring you here. And it's super hard when you're in that tight place. Like, the number of people who have come up to me and said, I really want to support you guys, but I can't. Or, I really want to support you guys, but I don't have anything. When you're in that place, it's hard to kind of put yourself out there and just say, hey, God, I'm going to try this just and see what happens. I'm going to try this and really trust that you're going to provide. I'll tell you, I struggle, especially with inroads, especially because I have all this stuff going on in my head, all these things that I want to see that are just so broad spectrum idea right now. Like, I don't even have anything even kind of narrowed down yet. But
I
there
mean,
it
well, you get so excited about a ministry like this that seems to just be so organic, or I shouldn't say seems, it is so organic and grows and grows and grows, and you have people who are showing so much interest and supporting you and giving you ideas, and then you see other people doing something kind of similar, and that suddenly gives you a burst of ideas, and then all of a sudden you're seeing ideas everywhere. You're looking at a wall. Hey, there's an idea. I could do something there. It gets crazy. It gets so crazy because you're so excited.
And I don't here here's the thing. Like, normally we try to have some kind of grand application, some kind of this is your takeaway. I've spent so much time in classrooms being taught how to preach, and one of the big things that I've sat under lots of different schools of preaching. So there's lots of different ways you do it, but at some point or another, or some variation on the theme, is the idea of give the people something that they take home, that they chew on, that they have applications in their day to day, because if they don't have that application, you're missing something. And I'm gonna be frank, I'm gonna be missing something on this podcast, because this is something that it's a current struggle. I have no place to really, bring that home, as it were. I can't sit there and say, oh, it's going to be okay. I think it will. The one thing, we were talking about this earlier. We were talking about scripture references. And Matthew 7 comes to mind. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That is always a verse that gets brought up when people are asking for money or when people are asking you to step out in faith in something. It's something that if you were to talk about any kind of spiritual discipline, any kind of thing that the Bible asks you to do that is really, really difficult for me, trusting in God's provision is bar none the hardest one for me.
Yeah.
Because I've gone right up to the line on a number of things and seen them crash at the end, burn at the end. So it's right. hard for me, even in the midst of seeing it happen with inroads, it's hard for me, and I'll admit that. But
no, I hear you there. I mean, it's like when, you know, when Jesus grabbed all the guys and said, I'm going to send you out, you know, you're going to take the shoes on your feet, the clothes on your back, and you're going to depend on the world that I'm sending you out to provide for you.
You basically depend on God for everything.
Yeah, because I'm going to put people in your way. I'm going to put events in your way that are going to give you the provision that you need. You just got to keep your eyes open and look. You got to look to me, seek me, ask me, and all of a sudden these things are just going to become apparent. But man, that is tough.
Well, and I'll tell you one thing that happened to us recently. Our church is really good about the understanding of tithing, and it's partly because as a staff they go through and do kind of a mini series on the idea of tithing. And it's probably the only reason why we even kind of meet budget.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife and I feel very strongly that, you know, like when God gives us something, he asks very little. He gives us, you know, the way that they always talk about it is as far as dollars. Like if God gives you 10, he only asks for one back.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing that kind of stuck with us is the idea that when the tithe is brought up, it's the only time that God says, no, go ahead and test me on this. Every other time when somebody says, you know, God, why aren't you doing this? Or God, you should do this. You know, God always responds with, who are you to ask me to do anything?
Yeah. It gives them the Job response.
Right.
Where were you?
when it comes to the tithe, this is the only time that God says, you know, hey, yeah. Test me on this. If you're faithful in this, you know, you're going to be okay. I'm not going to leave you in the lurch. Yeah. But there was a time not that long ago, probably within the last 6 months, that my wife and I were, we had a couple big bills hit just right on top of each other. And we found ourselves asking, like, okay, we either tithe this week or we get groceries, because both can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And through a lot of prayer, we found ourselves going, you know what? We're going to tithe. You know, God either gets the first of it or he doesn't, you know, or he doesn't.
You know, and that's a big concept that a lot of people miss is the first fruits. It's not just that you're tithing. It's the idea that you're giving.
God gets it first.
Gets it first and he gets your best.
Like as it stands, we talk about that. You know, this is a serious issue with us, because like even the gift that's allowing us to get this house, the gift that we're hoping will lead to other things in the future that I'm not going to talk about now because it's so far in the future, we're tithing on that. We're giving that to the church because we feel that strongly. It's a gift that's been given to us by God. He dropped it on our lap, and right. we feel, you know, a thing for that. Yeah, it's hard, but at the same point, I'll tell you this, that week that we tithed, we decided that, you know, maybe we don't get groceries or we stretch the can of tuna fish a little farther than we thought we would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody just out of nowhere dropped like $300 on our porch and said, this is a gift for you. It was anonymous. We still have no idea who gave it to us. And we weren't telling people about it. It didn't show. You didn't hear about it on this podcast. You didn't, you know, if you saw it on our Facebook, you didn't see it on my Facebook. Right. I didn't tell people about it, but you know, we spent a lot of time praying and God said, no, seriously, I asked you to be faithful in this and you were.
Yep.
I don't know.
And it's the money. It's the time. It's the talent. You know, I feel a lot of times like when I'm contributing to the ministry here, that a lot of times it's after I've kind of given my first fruits to something else. And it is, you feel the difference when you're giving it your all, when you're giving it your faith and your trust. You feel the difference as a result. And it could be something as awesomely physical as that doorstep gift, you know, $300 in an envelope, you know, and it could be something as intangible as a, you know, an ephemeral attaboy, you know what I mean? Just that feeling you get like, man, I'm doing the Lord's work right now and I'm feeling awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of just to bring this home as much as I can, because like I said, this is not something where I can, you know, speak from on high and saying, you know, man, you know, you need to trust in this because this will happen or this is, I don't go in for that. I go in for the fact that I need to trust God, and it's really hard for me in this particular aspect of life. There's lots of stuff that we want, and there's, you know, heck, we're just talking about Blood Rage. Blood Rage is an expensive game. Heck, yeah. We were talking about Clockwork Wars last time. Ooh. And in the course of the time that happened from the recording of the last one to the recording of this one, Clockwork Wars got released with a $100 plus price tag.
Yep.
And needless to say, Jeff and I, while still loving the game, cooled on the aspect of buying it right away just because neither one of us has that money.
Yeah, I'll be looking at people playing it on YouTube. That's okay.
Yeah, so whether you're struggling with the provision of God for the things that you want, like, because let's just face it, even though we'll talk about the wonders of gaming and the need for this kind of communal play experience, none of us need a $100 board game.
Right.
Or maybe you are in that place where you're struggling to find, you know, the rent or money for food, or you're wondering if the power is going to get turned off. It is super hard to sit here and trust in these passages that talk about God's provision, who talk about, you know, God is a promise-keeping God. It's super, super hard. And I'd love to kind of end this and get onto the contact information and all the cool stuff that we usually wrap this up with. I'd love to get there and just say, this is how you do it. This is how you know. I don't know. I don't have a way to do it. I don't have a 3-point plan as to how you can do it better. I do know, however, that God is a promise-keeping God. And he says that if we abide in him, something's going to happen. We don't just kind of get thrown out into the breeze, that God is with us. He does know what's going on. And sometimes our situation gets fixed and sometimes it doesn't, but God is always there.
Yeah.
So whether we're talking about, you know, you guys helping to support us in this ministry, or whether we're just talking about, you know, just trying to pay the bills on time. Yeah. That's just going to be my last words on it. I mean, it's super important to trust in God's provision. And it's also, at least for me, one of the most difficult things I have to do.
Yeah. I somehow don't think that you're alone in that, Mike. I'll join you in that fishing boat just because I'm there with you.
So I hope that's encouraging for you guys to hear that other people are dealing with this too, that you're not alone in this. I think that it's kind of a universal thing that all of us deal with this at one point or another. I will say, though, that if you're sitting around going, man, everything's great and wonderful and we have all this money that we'd love to give to good causes, we want to see a lot of really cool stuff happen here at InRoads, and we'd love it if you guys would support us. We haven't figured out a way to do recurring donations yet, but we're working on that. But yeah, I'd love it if I could get to a point where introducing people to gaming and teaching people how to build these relationships and providing materials that people can use. And quite frankly, there's a reason why TavernCon is the name of this event. I have a holy crap crazy idea for years and years down the future that says that I want to provide a convention, like an actual like 2 or 3 day convention that is free of charge, kind of like the guys at Fear the Con did. I want to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are things that we want to see happen. We think that there's a need for that because, like I said, people are driving 1, 2, and 3 hours away to come to a 9-hour game day. So people are going to be traveling 6 hours for 9 hours of gaming. There's a reason why they're doing that. It's because they feel like they need that community, and yeah. they're not getting it where they are. So we want to do more stuff like that. We hope that you guys not only kind of, you know, to use the churchy term, I hate using churchy terms, but there's no better term for it. We hope that you guys will like kind of catch this vision and say, you know, so many gamers, so many thousands and thousands of gamers are out there, and we want them to feel that community, and we want them to know God. We want them to know Christ and to know what he's done for them. And man, we want to keep doing that. And we want to make sure that that's a part of our life. And what a part, you know, we feel like, you know, I'm pretty confident I can speak for Jeff too, that we feel called to this. Like, we wouldn't do it if we didn't. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And the great thing is that all these years behind us, you know, for you and for me and for our folks out there, all the years that have been spent gaming and learning this culture and learning how to connect with people at this level, it's almost, well, it's God given, you know, it's the idea that, you know, how to do this. This is your trick and your tool of the trade. Use it. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to use it. We're trying to bring this to the kingdom as another tool that God's given us.
All right. Well, I can't think of a better place to kind of wrap that up. So, Jeff, what have you got going on in the horizon? What can people look forward to? Well, I know, sadly, I think we do have to talk about the fact that, at least according to the email that you received, Luke's game of Star Wars is kind of falling through.
Yeah, I want to say as a positive side that it might just be on hiatus until the scheduling gets put together.
I hope so, because I want to see that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's folks all across the universe getting together to play a galactic game of wonderment.
But it does up the time frame for our Victoriana game.
It does. It means that I definitely still want to shoot for a mid-August start, just so we have time to prep. You can get through Gen Con, recover, feel sane again, and actually feel like playing a Russian bear. Definitely having a lot of time to prep is going to give a little bit more time for people to get involved. We've got a couple of other game slots that have been taken, one tentative, but I would say I'd have room for up to 6 players, just to kind of make sure that bandwidth can be handled properly on Roll 20. I think above 6 it kind of gets a little hairy, but yeah, if there's guys out there listening to the show who are interested, stop by our Facebook page at the Tavern group, and give us a ping and let us know that you're interested. I'll be setting up some information on there just to kind of give more specifics to it. But yeah, looking for an mid-August start, and we'll go from there.
Also say that if you guys have any ideas for what you want to see on our YouTube channel, right now it's just going to be our Inroads plays, you know, various role-playing systems. But if there's something else that you want to see, we're more than happy to look into making that happen.
Yeah, definitely throw those suggestions out there. I know a couple of folks were mentioning something about, you know, like game prep or game selection, like how to go through that kind of a process, you know, whether it's board games or it's RPGs. So yeah, keep those ideas coming in.
I know for me, everything is TavernCon. Like I said, by the time this episode goes live, I will literally be only a couple days away from having TavernCon go live. Super excited about what's going to happen there. I'm really, you know, it's funny because I've been saying before we got into this one, right now I'm in this roller coaster, and I think I'm just calling it the nonprofit roller coaster. The nonprofit roller coaster, being super excited and super just really, really encouraged by what's happening, and also really discouraged and confused and scared that it's never going to work. The fact that this event, which literally just spawned from me saying, hey, I got to cover costs from Gen Con, to being this event a month later that has so much going for it, I'm really excited for the potential of this as years down the road, and hopefully we see this event grow. So if you're listening to this and you've kind of been on the fence post of coming, dude, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be amazing.
Get off the fence. Get off the fence and get in your car and go.
But yeah, definitely excited about TavernCon. We're always looking for people that are going to be putting out articles. If you'd like to contribute an article, you can contact me at contact@inroadsministries.com. You can find us on Twitter at Inroads, also at Instagram at Inroads, Facebook. We have facebook.com/InroadsMinistries. We also have the Tavern, which you can find the link on our site at InroadsMinistries.com. The Tavern is growing steadily, and more people are voicing their opinions and voicing awesome stuff and sharing great stuff. Man, I absolutely love hanging out in the Tavern, and I hope that you guys will too. Wow, it could be that it's just late and it's been a long day, but I'm just rambling.
That's okay. That's all right.
And because of the fact that I'm just super tired and we're already pushing a little later than normal. Jeff, how about you wrap us up and you take us home?
All right, guys. I think this end phrase just kind of sums it up really well, especially about provision and about depending upon that faith. So all our listeners out there, always remember that God is the game master, and no matter how the dice falls, the game plays on.